Blog Talk Radio.
You think they really ready for you? Nah. You think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. You think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Thinking, Chris, shrinking, nah, I just don't brag about the deals I've been inking, honorary degrees from Lincoln, I cross borders like those Sheikins and do albums in a weekend, I'm hip-hop speaking, never the weakling, I'm the truth, man, so what are y'all speaking, them lies and them liars, I still make flyers, I still ride bands and say MC for hire, I'll spit the fire anywhere, any place, mama never told you to stay out of grown folk face, then you got them rappers with that cold broke face, they tour around the world, then they going no place, my KRS one moves at its own pace. On vegetable oil, no gas, no waste. Then you got these intellectuals, really they're sexual, but they wanna remain respectable. Stop frying.
Do you think
they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Do you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Thinking me, I say impeccable, running circles around these intellectuals, what a spectacle, they get mad when I say I and God are identical, you better get on your knees and praise them, these conspiracy theory rappers, I'll blaze them too, ooh, deja vu, you seen this all before me, slaying your crew, I'm known by all the kids, I studied Dr. King, man, and all he did, people don't stop calling Chris for gigs, cause when I'm on the mic, man, I flip they lid, me getting bullshit, I can't even count all the dough this month I did, from coast to coast, we roasting toast, I'm hot, me and the ice can't get close,
do
you think they really ready for you now? That there'll be many of you now. Do you really think they're ready for you now? Do you think they're really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they're ready for you now? Revolutionaries know the game. We take away the pain like Novocaine. Knowledge reigning supreme, you know the name. This the name that don't play all them games. I ain't gonna call no names or take away no fame. But the airwaves is a shame. And the public don't know who to blame. So they blame rappers like we are insane. Like we are to blame for society's pain. Like they don't know for sure what's in our brains. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Same style oppression, socially rearranged. Many of our problems we already overcame, but we stuck in the past, can't see the change. Stuck in the Hyundai, can't see the range. Stuck in the towers, can't see the planes.
Do
you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now?
Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic and all this. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see by the dawn? So proudly we hailed at the twilight land's gleaming. Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the sky.
man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4. I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to
sing along.
Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven ring. Ring with the harmony, oh, let us sing. Let our rejoicing rise high. Loud as the Lord's sea. God of our weariness, God of our solitudes, thou who has brought us thus far, oh, long way, thou who has bowed thy mind to the light, keep us forever, oh, in the past we pray.
We'll have a commercial break, like right in that time period. But, man, we've been hacked, jacked, wrapped. People done came into my system and took all my music, all my commercials, everything I had locked up in here out of the show. So we're going to try something new, today, but let's go and get the show started. 347-838-9825.
Let me show you the way to go.
Thank you. Today, you know, we had the first, 144 years ago, the first black senator was elected to the U.S. House. And since it is Black History Month, we're going to delve into that. And then we're going to have some other topics, 347-838-9825. Be back in the morning.
This 1872 print by Currier and Ives shows the first seven black Americans elected to the U.S. Congress. Significantly, all seven were Republicans. On the left side of the picture is Hiram Rhodes Revels from Mississippi. An ordained minister, he served as a missionary and pastor, recruited 3 black regiments, and was a chaplain during the Civil War. Revels became America's first black U.S. senator. Next is Benjamin Turner of Alabama. Turner was a slave during the Civil War, but within 5 years after the war, he had become a wealthy and prosperous businessman. Next is Robert DeLarge of South Carolina. Born as a slave, within 3 years of the end of the war, he was serving in the State House. He also chaired the Republican Party's platform committee and became a statewide elected official. Next is Josiah Walls of Florida. Walls was a slave during the Civil War and was forced to fight for the Confederate Army. After he was captured by Union troops, however, he promptly enlisted as a Union soldier and even became an officer. After his election to Congress, his credentials were challenged by Democrats and he was twice sent home. He was reelected after the first challenge, but during the second challenge, Democrats regained control of Florida and he was prevented from returning. Next is Jefferson Long of Georgia. Born as a slave, he was self-educated and built a thriving business. However, when elected to Congress as a Republican, Democrats boycotted his business, causing him great financial losses. Long was the first black American to deliver a congressional speech in the U.S. House. Next is Joseph Hain Rainey of South Carolina. Born a slave, he actually served briefly as Speaker of the U.S. House and was in Congress longer than any other black American from that era. The seventh is Robert Brown Elliott, also of South Carolina. He was well educated, reading in Spanish, French, and Latin. In Congress, he led in the passage of civil rights bills over the strident opposition of congressional Democrats, and he later became Speaker of the House in the state legislature.
Thank you. Then again, Thank you. We're going to continue our tribute to the first black representatives. But we got to go off into what happened and why we really here, blacks, that is, in the Democratic Party. You know, I've argued several times that we're here because we don't know our history, and he who does not know their history are doomed to repeat it. Let me go ahead and give up some history on blacks in the Democratic. The KKK, there's black history in the KKK, early Republican history, though, but people started to realize that the blacks were hung by the Democrats, and the Democrats were the KKK. So let me go in there and play this little hookup, and I'll be back in one moment.
The first 42 black legislators elected in Texas were all Republican. The first 112 black legislators elected in Mississippi were all Republican. The first 190 black legislators elected in South Carolina were all Republican. The first 41 in Georgia, the first 127 in Louisiana. So now you've got all these African Americans really stepping up and starting to gain political standing, political power. Now, you have Democrats on the other side who have been very racist. It's in their platforms. They support the Dred Scott decision. They think the fugitive slave law is great. They started a nation to keep slavery alive. Very racist. And so now they're facing a situation where that these blacks are now their rulers, are now...
I don't know what happened. Let me see. Am I live? Okay, I am live. Okay. Let me see if I can get that back again. I have like a problem with this little system. Normally, I'd be doing commercials. Y'all know how my program rolls. My commercials get knocked out, so y'all ain't got to, y'all gonna get y'all credited. You be credited. Y'all be credited for this month, those who I'm sponsoring. Let me get that back on to y'all because I had the post that y'all credited, and I apologize for not having everything lined up for you. So let me go ahead and get everything locked up for you now. This is our earlier history of what's really going on.
The first 42 black legislators elected in Texas were all Republican. The first 112 black legislators elected in Mississippi were all Republican. The first 190 black legislators elected in South Carolina were all Republican. The first 41 in Georgia, the first 127 in Louisiana. So now you've got all these African Americans really stepping up and starting to gain political standing, political power. Now, you have Democrats on the other side who have been very racist. It's in their platforms. They support the Dred Scott decision. They think the fugitive slave law is great. They started a nation to keep slavery alive. Very racist, and so now they're facing a situation where that these blacks are now their rulers, are now in office, are now U.S. senators, are now U.S. How do you stop that? 1866, Democrats themselves started the Ku Klux Klan. Its purpose was not to kill blacks. Its purpose was to take control and return Democrats to power. Their stated purpose in the KKK was to stop Republicans and restore Democratic control. Now, if you're looking for a Republican that you want to take care of, you can wipe out any black you want because they're 100% Republicans at that point in time. You can't wipe out any white. I mean, some whites might be Democrats. You got to be a little more judicious when you're wiping out whites. So what happens is the Ku Klux Klan starts attacking, not blacks, Republican conventions. For example, in New Orleans, in the Republican convention in Louisiana, the Klan joined with the New Orleans police, joined with the New Orleans mayor, Democrats. They attacked physically at the convention in New Orleans, Republican convention. They killed 40 blacks, killed 20 whites. They wounded 150 others. 1868, they put out a push card in South Carolina, and it listed what they called the radical members of the South Carolina legislature. That push card's about the size of a baseball card. It was put up by the Klan. Klan put it out. It had the pictures of 63 legislators that needed to be wiped out in South Carolina. 50 of those legislators were black, 13 were white. Now, they were all 63 Republican. On the back of the card, it gave you the name of each legislator so you'd know who you're trying to kill. Congress starts these hearings in this group called the Klan. And they have hearings, And so they bring in Democrat leaders that under oath from these Democrat states said, yes, the Klan belongs to our party. It's actually in Congress. 1872, the hearings, it's a 13-volume set of hearings in Congress. Unequivocally, Democrats say the Klan is ours and belongs to us. It's there to restore Democrat control in the southern states. Those guys who lived through it made it very clear. For example, one of the early black congressmen was John Roy Lynch. Another early black congressman was Richard Kane. And they're having to fight the Klan physically for their own safety. They go armed to Congress because of Klan attacks. These guys said, if we as blacks would simply stop voting the Republican ticket, if we would agree to vote the straight Democrat ticket, all the violence against us would be stopped.
In 1964, incidentally a year that three of our civil rights workers were killed in Mississippi registering blacks to vote, was also the year that civil rights legislation, historic civil rights legislation, was being promoted, and President Johnson wanted to sign it, but nevertheless it was held up, bottled up in the United States Senate by Southern Democrats. And one Democrat in particular who was the last individual to try to obstruct this legislation was a guy named Senator Robert Byrd of West Virginia, who for 14 hours and 13 minutes held a filibuster against this civil rights legislation.
Senator Robert Byrd used the nigger word three times on a national televised TV show. No outcry at all. Nobody said a thing, at least from the Democrat. No, the Black Caucus didn't say anything, the NAACP, no outcry.
There's no price to pay when you're on the left and you make intemperate racial remarks. There's no price to pay. We say, well, it's just, we're making much to do about nothing.
They wanted to destroy Trent Lott. I mean, they went after him on BET, and this man had to eventually apologize. But nothing from Senator Robert Byrd.
Hypocrisy of liberals and media around how they reacted to Dodd's praise of Byrd on the Senate floor, and the reaction of Trent Lott praising an old man that was going to be dead within a year. Contrast that with the absolute silence of the liberal media around Bob Byrd being praised. I mean, a Klansman, a Klan leader, not just a member of the Klan, not just influenced by the Klan, but a operational leader of the Klan.
One of the things that has mystified me most over the last few years is to look at the civil rights establishment and have them regard the news of Colin Powell becoming America's first black Secretary of State, Condi Rice becoming America's second black national security advisor, and not hear some of them say, look, we have differences in opinion over their policies, we don't necessarily approve of everything they believe in, but this is a great step forward for Americans and black Americans in particular. What you hear instead is that, well, they're tokens, and maybe they're wannabe whites, and you have these awful cartoons, political cartoons, that were done after Condi Rice was named Secretary of State, where she was sitting on a porch barefoot, looking like some kind of a welfare queen or something like that, speaking in jive. You had another one where she was a parrot sitting on George Bush's shoulder with big fat lips. I mean, just the most awful, hideous racial stereotypes, anti-black stereotypes, being hurled in the face of a very, very intelligent woman who was at Stanford University provost, speaks Russian, very accomplished woman. From
tendency to ascribe positive things to whiteness and negative things to blackness. So the kid who goes to the library and who plays the piano, the classics, who studies, is acting white.
What it says basically, the people who argue that way, is that we black people don't have control over our own minds, we're not allowed to think what we wish, and we're essentially supposed to walk around in a racial plantation where everybody's liberal, everyone believes in the Democratic Party, and in that respect we're not really men and women, but sort of like cattle. And so then they think, well, do I want to let my race down by acting white? Do I want to betray my people by acting white? And they say, well, I guess not. I guess I'll act black and come to school unprepared, not participate, not speak in proper English, talk jive. And what happens? You see a young black child's mind close up like that, and the kid's scores go down. And what have you done? You've ruined an American citizen for life.
Condi Rice and Colin Powell, we don't know if they're really black. But the drug dealer on the corner is black.
In 1971, a black U.S. congressman from South Carolina, Joseph Hayne Rainey, reported an incident concerning an elderly man named Dr. John Winsmith, a white Republican state senator.
The doctor, a man nearly 70 years of age, had been to town. Returning home late, he soon afterward retired. A little after midnight, he was aroused by someone knocking violently at his front door.
The Klan shot down this state senator, a white state senator, because he was Republican and was fighting for the rights of blacks in his state. In that hail of bullets, Dr. Winsmith was hit 7 times. However, he survived the shooting and lived to testify before Congress about the attack made on him by the Klan. This is a Klan pushcard from 1868, about the size of a baseball card. It is entitled, Radical Members of the South Carolina Legislature. It shows 63 radicals. They were all Republicans. The Democrats called Republicans radicals because the Republican Party was biracial and allowed blacks to vote and participate in the political process, thus making them radical in the Democrats' eyes. Of the 63 radicals or Republicans in the South Carolina legislature, 50 were black and 13 were white. On the back of this card, all the names of the radical Republicans were listed. Evidently, if the Klan wanted to pay a night visit, as they had to Senator Winsmith, with the help of this card, they would know exactly who they were looking for.
We know the Klan is often associated with lynchings, and you know these are some of the most abominable pictures in history, but these are pictures of actual lynchings. 4,800 Americans were lynched. Now, out of the 4,800 that were lynched, 1,300 were white, 3,500 were black.
We have never heard that before.
We've never heard 1,300 white lynched. I thought it was just lynching blacks. No, they were lynching Republicans. But again, back at that point in American history, if you were black, you were a Republican. You couldn't lynch every white you saw. Some of them might be Democrats. So you have to find out who they are. And that's why you have these little cards to identify the whites and the blacks that are Republicans so you know who you're going after. People say the Klan wasn't partisan. Really? That's kind of interesting that as you get into the 1920s and 30s and 40s, the Klan was actually a wing of the Democrat Party. Matter of fact, George Wallace, who ran for governor in the South, a very famous name in the South, he lost his first election because he refused to accept the Klan endorsement in the Democrat primary. So the second time he ran for office, he accepted the Klan endorsement and won the primary. You go into Texas, Ma Ferguson, she had trouble. She wouldn't accept the Klan primary, and it kept her from having a cohesive win as Texas governor. And she eventually became Texas governor. But this was a significant part of the Democrat Party. It was an entire wing in the Democrat Party. And as you look, here's a picture of a Klan parade. You actually, in Washington, D.C., had 40,000 members marching the Klan parade at the turn of the century. They included U.S. senators, U.S. reps, Supreme Court justices, members of the Democrat Party.
When would that picture be taken?
This picture is going to be taken in about 1910. One of the great Klan recruiting films of all time is called Birth of a Nation. Birth of a Nation is really one of the first films that was ever done, a motion picture, and it shows the Klan as heroes saving the South from all the blacks. And by the way, guess where that film was shown? It was shown in the White House. It was the first film ever shown in the White House. It was shown by Democrat President Woodrow Wilson. When he became president, a number of blacks already held federal office. He got rid of them, got them out of office. Teddy Roosevelt got all sorts of ire when he invited Booker T. Washington to come to the White House. The first African-American to come to the White House, Booker T. Washington, invited by Republican President Teddy Roosevelt, who used him as an advisor. Well, we move on from Roosevelt. We move now, and Roosevelt's appointed a number of blacks in his administration. You move on into Woodrow Wilson. He gets all blacks gone, and he shows a Klan recruiting film at the White House. See, the Klan was an active part of American politics for way too long.
By 1875, only a decade after the Civil War, Republicans had successfully passed almost 24 civil rights laws, and black American legislators often played significant roles in the debates surrounding the passage of such laws. One example involved a civil rights bill in 1871, a bill allowing the federal government to punish Klan violence. During the debates on that bill, Representative Joseph Hayne Rainey from South Carolina delivered a powerful speech during the debates on that bill explaining why blacks were most often the targets of Klan violence.
When we call to mind the fact that this Klan persecution is waged against men for the simple reason that they dare vote with the Republican Party, the question is sometimes asked, why do not the courts of law afford redress? We answer, because the courts are in many instances under the control of Democrats who are wholly opposed to the impartial administration of law and equity. What benefit would result from appeal to courts whose officers are secretly in sympathy with the very evil against which we are striving? If the Negroes, numbering 1/8 of the population of these United States, would only cast their votes in the interest of the Democrats, all open measures of violence against them would immediately be suspended and their rights as American citizens recognized. But I can only say that we love freedom more, vastly more than slavery. Consequently, we hope to keep clear of the Democrats. I will also say that in the state of South Carolina, which I represent, there's no disturbance of an alarming character in any one of the counties in which the Republicans have a majority. The troubles are usually in those sections in which the Democrats have control. I say to the entire membership of the Democratic Party that upon your hands rests the blood of the loyal men of the South. Disclaim it as you will, but the stain is there to prove your criminality before man and God. In the world in the day of retribution, which will surely come, I pity the man or party of men who would seek to ride into power over the dead body of a legitimate opponent. I can say for my people that we are fully determined to stand by the Republican Party and the government. We have resolved to be loyal and firm, and as Queen Esther said long ago, if we perish, we perish. I earnestly hope that this bill...
Now, that was raw, wasn't it? Yeah, I know it was raw. That was raw. Now, where are the leaders today? Where are the leaders today, everybody? Where are the leaders today that can so eloquently speak about the injustice that is going on right now? Where are they at now? You know? It's funny. Here it is, 2014, and yet we have the same complaints that we've been having for years. You know what I'm saying? For years. Let me, I reload that. Let me come up with something else. What else I got up here? What else I got in my bag of tricks lined up? Let me see. What do y'all think about that, what I played thus far? Was it, y'all, did you enjoy it? You know? What you think about it? Is it something to ponder? Something to believe in? Do you believe it? You know, do you believe what, I'm trying to put a paper. It still ain't up yet. I said, do you believe what, the gentleman was saying. That other white guy for the record. Hope y'all, my black audience didn't think I was trying to be funny by sneaking in some Republican propaganda. But yeah, it is Republican propaganda. When you look at the history of African Americans, you know, and interject the political parties, then you will have a different view of America. That is so true. You see, we tend to just look at us as one picking cotton, eating watermelon, dancing a jig, is very seldom, very rarely, that we see ourselves as legislators. Now, that speech was made in the 41st Congress, like the first session. And so now, here you got a man. See, now, stuff like this needs to be released. Now, I wonder if the Democrat in Chicago, I mean, in Congress, I wonder if they ever read those books or ever looked at those writings, those legislators. I wonder. And then how could, if they did read them, how come they have not changed the party's platform? I got to turn my phone and hold on, everybody.
Matter of fact, let's take another cup of tea.
Now, how long have I been doing this rant thing? Since what, 2007? And y'all are still watching? Thank you. I've commented at length on the relationship between blacks, Democrats, and the Republican Party. Videos like Begin Deprogramming, where I examine that often asked question, why is it that the majority of the black community consistently votes Democrat? What's funny is that you kind of have to scratch your head and wonder, why is it that the majority of the black community votes Democrat? But back in the day, when the majority of the black community voted Republican, it was pretty clear why. Actually, that's not entirely true. If you were wondering why blacks voted for Republicans, it was because you were wondering if they had a death wish. Am I lying? Man, you ain't got to look that far today to see the hostility that'll come your way if you're black and you dare to be a Republican. And just a few decades ago, that hostility came along with lynchings. Now, people have been led to believe that these lynchings were done by a bunch of crazy rednecks running around in white sheets because that's the American way. But y'all, it wasn't the American way. It was the Democrat way. The Ku Klux Klan was the terrorist fraternity founded by the Democrat Party, and their message was simple. Vote or die. And when you vote, you make sure it's for Democrats. Now, who is it that was carrying on that vote or die message? Oh, yeah, Diddy. Now, do you think that whole vote or die, rock the vote campaign is propaganda for you to vote Republican? No, it's for you to vote Democrat. The Klan wanted white voters to vote Democrat. They didn't want black folks to vote at all. But if black people were going to vote, they wanted them to vote Democrat too. And you can be sure that the Klan has some choice words for black people who voted Republican. Why don't you learn this stuff in public school? Because the public school system is run by the Democrat Party and the union. But what the scratch and sniff happened, man? The Democrat Party has been the pro-slavery party, the pro-segregation party, the anti-civil rights party, but the majority of the black community votes Democrat. Now, some will say it's because Martin Luther King gave his endorsement to Democrat John F. Kennedy. This supposedly happened after Robert Kennedy made a few phone calls to get Martin Luther King released from jail. But that same Robert Kennedy that made a few phone calls to get Martin Luther King released from jail is the same Robert Kennedy that gave the okie-dokie to J. Edgar Hoover to tap Martin Luther King's thumb.
They wanted to catch Martin Luther King engaging in dialogue that was favorable to communism.
They didn't like Martin Luther King. Know why? Because he was a Republican. And actually, man, as far as I know, he never did endorse John F. Kennedy because Martin Luther King was a church pastor who stood by the principle of not endorsing candidates. Martin Luther King offered his thanks to the Kennedys. I don't think he offered an endorsement. But there's Martin Luther King Sr., who was also a Republican. He knew that the Democrats were not friends of the black community, and that included the Kennedys. Why would Martin Luther King endorse John F. Kennedy? Allow me to speculate. Could it be that Martin Luther King Sr. also got a phone call? A phone call that might have gone something like, look here, you want a safe and speedy release of your son from jail? How about a friendly nod for Kennedy in exchange? Not to mention, while John F. Kennedy was a senator, he opposed the civil rights bill that was being advanced by the Republican president, Eisenhower. Now, like Republicans, Democrats like the Kennedys back then didn't like communism, and Southern Democrats really hated communism. But let's clear this up, though. Hating communism does not make you a capitalist, and it does not make you a conservative. Adolf Hitler hated communism, too. But that didn't make him a capitalist or a conservative. I have to point this stuff out because the Democrats know that they're being exposed, so they've been going around and changing some things. So when you go out and research and Google this stuff, you're going to find that the word Democrat is being replaced by the word conservative. Especially when you go research them Southern Democrats, or Dixiecrats as they call them. They're changing the language, y'all. That's how they do. You know, kind of like the term global warming is being replaced by the term climate change. They got their foot ankle deep in their mouth on that one, and they're sore losers about it, man. And sore losers are always trying to change the game. But more and more people are starting to call Democrats out on this stuff. What you mean, global warming, man? It's actually been kind of cool. Well, you see, our Earth raping is causing our Earth mother to be depressed, and her depression is manifesting as changing climates. No, 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 my green friend. The fact that the Earth has two poles doesn't make her bipolar per se, like you. Those changes in the climates are called seasons and normal warming and cooling periods. The rest of us know that. Why don't y'all know that? Anyway, the Democrats were seeing that more and more the rest of the country wasn't really riding on the hateful frequency of the Southern Democrats. Now, I reckon the Democrat Harry Truman knew that. He was also a member of the Ku Klux Klan. He just didn't attend their slumber parties.
At least that's what he says.
But if Truman wanted to be president, he was going to have to show that he was in tune with the rest of the country. He was going to have to show that he was hip, he was cool, you know, denying civil rights to blacks is for squares, man. So he throws down with things like signing executive order to end segregation in the military and to end discrimination in federal employment. That made him look a little better to the rest of the country, and it made Democrats look a little better to black people. But to his racist homies in the South, he's like, now don't y'all go thinking I'm expecting you to enforce all this civil rights crap. That's where Eisenhower comes in. He's the one who actually put into action what Truman only put on paper. Eisenhower moved to desegregate schools and the military. And if he had any reservations about desegregating schools, it was because he felt it was an issue that needed to be resolved on state levels. But Eisenhower did see that these people were being jerks, and that their laws conflicted with the supreme law of the land. That's why there's that instance of Eisenhower sending in military support to make sure that black kids could go to school. Now, Martin Luther King did ask Eisenhower for more help. He wanted Eisenhower to be more verbal against what was happening in the South. And Eisenhower's like, man, I've been expressing my views on this, and to tell you the truth, I really don't know what good another speech for me is going to do for you. And Eisenhower was right, because the speech that was going to be the super rump shaker wasn't meant to come through Eisenhower. It was meant to come through Martin Luther King. So between Truman and the Kennedys, what civil rights meant was votes. It's like Truman set up the ball and the Kennedys spiked it. The Democrat Margaret Sanger already said it. You want to hoodwink them Negroes? You make nice with their ministers. And when Robert Kennedy got Martin Luther King released from jail, it made Democrats look good to the black community. So, of course, the black community was really disenfranchised. And when Martin Luther King busted on the scene to be the champion of civil rights, he really had the hearts of the black community with him, as well as a lot of other Americans. And when the people saw that their champion was freed from jail by a Democrat, they were so happy that they forgot that it was Democrats who put Martin Luther King in jail in the first place. They forget about Democrats like George Wallace and Democrats like Bull Firehose KKK Connor. There's the pro-segregationist Democrat Ernie Vandiver, the governor of the state that Martin Luther King was jailed in. FDR was instrumental in getting black people to start switching over to Democrat because of entitlements. See, the Democrats have had a system. You gotta break the black community down, and every once in a while you gotta give them a little something, you know, so they stay tolerant of the place that you've reduced them to. Now, the Democrats knew at some point the black community was going to rise against them. But that's okay, because they had a plan for that, and they still use that plan today. Well, you know all that awful stuff that's been happening to you? You know, it was those dang Republicans. We've always been with you, brother.
There are a lot of people who wrote these eulogies for Senator Byrd in the newspapers, and I read a bunch of them, and they mentioned that he once had a fleeting association with a Ku Klux Klan. And what does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. He was a country boy from the hills and hollows of West Virginia. He was trying to get elected. And maybe he did something he shouldn't have done, and he spent the rest of his life making it up. And that's what a good person does.
But how did this disenfranchisement come about? Well, let's keep working our way back, and on the way, we'll take a quick look at the presidency of the Democrat Woody Woodrow Wilson. He knew the game. Oh, yeah, I'm all about seeing the advancement of you Negro folk. There he was, out there courting the black vote. Woody with a courting heated ride, crambone. Oh, yeah, y'all black people could vote back then. It's just that Democrats had this really bad habit of coming into power and taking away the rights of black people. Republicans are the ones who would come in and restore the rights. And the last time that happened was when Lyndon B. Johnson was president, a Democrat. But he got that Civil Rights Act passed with Republican support, not so much with Democrat support. Anyway, back to Woodrow Wilson. Now, what did Woodrow Wilson do? He did the same thing that the Democrats of today do. He patronized the black community for their votes. And what did he do with their votes? Well, he did things like segregate the military and fire blacks who had federal positions. And to add insult to injury, he hosted the showing of the pro-KKK movie Birth of a Nation in the White House. Now, even though black people typically voted Republican back then, they got suckered into voting Democrat. Now, before Woodrow Wilson, you had the Republican president Teddy Roosevelt, or he called his party the Bull Moose Party. He was still a Republican, though. Teddy Roosevelt was digging Booker T. Washington, who was also a Republican. Teddy and Booker T. kicking it at the White House. Bullet. Teddy Roosevelt, a Republican, invites blacks in. Woodrow Wilson, a Democrat, kicks blacks out. Yet black people today say we love them Democrats. Teddy Roosevelt had to work to repair civil rights due to the damage done to it by Southern Democrats. Southern Democrats had become really, really mad about all these coon-level Republicans being in the White House for so long. So the Klanocrats were dispatched to turn up the heat on how people were going to vote. So why the loyalty to the Democrat Party? Well, let's keep working our way on back. So let's look at the South wanting to break away from the Union. You got the Southern Democrat representatives that wanted to break away so they could be the slave-holding Confederate states. Oh, yeah? Well, how come black men were fighting with Confederates in uniform? Because they had to? They had to be in uniform, y'all, because the Confederate military didn't want to mistake them for runaway slaves with guns and shoot them. They needed every man they could get. It's another example of Democrats using black people when it's convenient for them. So those slaves were forced to fight, and those slaves that were fighting against the Union were hoping to get captured by the Union. Don't get me wrong, you have many of them slaves that were led to believe that the Union was the enemy. Kind of like how it is today. You got many in the black community that are led to believe that the Republicans are the enemy. And I'm sure there were just a lot of slaves out there that were eager to shoot at some white people, huh? I mean, come on. Now, even today, you have these left-wing cynics that would rather be suspicious of Abraham Lincoln because he said this:
my paramount objective in this struggle is to save the Union, and it's not either to save or destroy slavery. If I could save the Union without freeing any slave, I would do it. And if I could save it by freeing all the slaves, I would do it. And if I could do it by freeing some and leaving others alone, I would do that also.
But there's what he said, and then there's what he did. Now, I could be all hung up on that and bitter about it too, but then I think about what the Democrat General George B. McClellan said. Our bloody civil war has now lasted years under the mismanagement of Abraham Lincoln. Nearly 1 million white lives have been sacrificed. So the Democrats of today try to say that Lincoln was indifferent to slavery, but the Democrats of Lincoln's day saw Lincoln as clearly anti-slavery, and they didn't like it. McClellan also charged Lincoln with this.
Lincoln has declared his intention to convert the Civil War into a war for forcible abolition and Negro equality, social and political.
This Democrat was a general during Lincoln's administration, and just like pretty much the rest of the Democrats, he was at odds with Lincoln. McClellan ran against Lincoln because he saw Lincoln as a slavery-abolishing Republican who committed the abominable act of sacrificing white lives for black freedom. So what do you want to believe? That Lincoln didn't really care about blacks because of a few lines that he stated? All those people that were killed in the war? That was just a political stunt. He really didn't care about freeing slaves. And forget all that abolitionist-laden Republican platform stuff that Lincoln ran on. Forget all that. And forget about the fact that he signed the 13th Amendment. Man, he the president. He ain't got no business doing that anyway. Now, you can find accounts of Lincoln suggesting that the white race is the superior race, but hey, I never said Lincoln was perfect. But despite such sentiments, he still saw blacks as people. People deserving of the same rights as everybody else outlined in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. But unfortunately, a lot of people would rather assume the worst about Lincoln and side with Democrats. Why? Well, let's keep going on back. Let's examine the paradox of Thomas Jefferson, a Democratic Republican. The Republican side of him knew that we enjoy a constitutional republic. His philosophy on the rights of man and the role of government was brilliant and revered by many people today. That's the Republican side of him. But the Democrat side of him is the side that said, but these rights are good for me, not you, namely you black folks. Matter of fact, let's get to cracking with that fugitive slave law and snatch up a few of those Negroes and put them into slavery.
Invasion of the Negro Snatchers.
And that's just another example, but people in the black community still side with Democrats. Why?
Could it be because the Republican Party stands closest to the Constitution? You know, that document that has that three-fifths clause in it? That clause that supposedly reduces black people to three-fifths of a human being? Many of y'all learned that in our liberal indoctrination system. You know, public school. And this is a prime example of how race-baiting liberals are masters at suckering the black community to keep voting for Democrats.
To make the far-reaching accusation that the Constitution refers to black people as three-fifths of a human being and to get people to believe it is, like, amazing. Hey, let's take a look at how Article 1, Section 2, Clause 3 of the U.S. Constitution reads. People are three-fifths of a human being out of that.
First of all, those who are bound in servitude are still referred to as persons.
Two, blacks aren't even mentioned. The only ethnic group mentioned are the Indians. The Indians not tax three-fifths of all other persons.
This clause is reflected in Article 11 in the Articles of Confederation.
Now, it is true that the proponents of slavery wanted to be able to count their slaves to be able to gain more representation. And the kind of representation that they wanted was the kind of representation that would keep slavery legal. That's sick, man. Using slaves to gain more slave-supporting representation. Ain't even right.
The anti-slavery founders laid down a three-fifths clause to protect the slaves. See, the pro-slavery founders considered slaves property, not people. But they considered them people when it came time to get more representation. And the anti-slavery founders are like, man, you can't be selective about when they're people. So yeah, there were founding fathers that thought that slavery was okay and that blacks were less than human. Those would be your patriarchs of the Democrat Party. And those who opposed slavery were the patriarchs of the Republican Party. So I gotta tell y'all, I really don't see what the three-fifths clause in the Constitution has to do with slaves or persons' work. But to me, it's making a clear distinction of how Indians will be excluded from being counted. Meaning if they wanted to count an Indian in their state, that Indian had to be taxed at least three-fifths of what everybody else was paying. There had to be some sort of criteria put on the Indians so the pro-slavery folks wouldn't try to count all of them.
Anyway, that's my take on it. You can get mad all you want. Now look, y'all. We know that white people have done rotten things to black folks. And not only that, they made it illegal to do rotten things to black folks. But check this out. They were Democrats. So how is it today that the majority of the black community are still loyal Democrat voters?
Because for the last 50 plus years, the Democrats have had control over the entertainment industry, the media, and the educational system. They run the mediums of social engineering. They're really good at poisoning the water, framing somebody else for doing it, and then showing up pretending to be the doctor who can cure what ails you.
But of course, there's a lot of stuff to research out there, y'all. These are just the conclusions that I come to when I put my little two and twos together. But you know why I believe what I believe and why I'm a conservative Republican and stuff? Because what I believe doesn't make me angry. I'm a Republican because I dig this republic that protects my freedom to worship God and I want to keep it that way. Democrats tend to believe what makes them angry, as if negativity is the affirmation of reality. And a big part of why they are Democrats is because they hate Republicans. I hear the Democrats now, you know, you're not telling the whole story. No, it's y'all who haven't been telling the whole story. Matter of fact, y'all have been telling a story with holes. We've been hearing y'all's side. Now we're telling our side.
And now, the mellow sounds of Jimmy Early.
Never meant to make you cry. You were the only one I've ever loved in my life. And though it's hard for me to show it, I've got to let you know it. 'Cause darling, I'm loving you more each day. But the words
Sad song. Hey, Curtis, this is supposed to be your night, right? Let's have some happy time. Brian, I'm going to give you a count off. The rest of y'all come in when I tick, right?
What the hell's he doing?
1, 2, 3, hit me! Bop, bop, bop it out of me, bop, bop, bop. Yeah, bass man, come on up. 1, 2, 3, hit me!
Come
Let me show you the way to go. Follow me, follow me. Well, I hope you are enjoying my little tribute to the Republican Party during this Black History Month and giving you a hope. I'm giving you all a nice little understanding, you know, about the party and stuff like that, so you all won't be thinking anything crazy. So we're going to keep it moving, and I'll be back in 1 second. And just in case you missed the earlier portion of the show, the eulogy of the first Black senators, because today, and then 44 years ago, the first Black senator was elected, South Carolina.
This 1872 print by Currier and Ives shows the first seven black Americans elected to the U.S. Congress. Significantly, all seven were Republicans. On the left side of the picture is Hiram Rhodes Revels from Mississippi. An ordained minister, he served as a missionary and pastor, recruited three black regiments, and was a chaplain during the Civil War. Revels became America's first black U.S. senator. Next is Benjamin Turner of Alabama. Turner was a slave during the Civil War, but within 5 years after the war, he had become a wealthy and prosperous businessman. Next is Robert DeLarge of South Carolina. Born as a slave, within 3 years of the end of the war, he was serving in the State House. He also chaired the Republican Party's platform committee and became a statewide elected official. Next is Josiah Walls of Florida. Walls was a slave during the Civil War and was forced to fight for the Confederate Army. After he was captured by Union troops, however, he promptly enlisted as a Union soldier and even became an officer. After his election to Congress, his credentials were challenged by Democrats and he was twice sent home. He was reelected after the first challenge, but during the second challenge, Democrats regained control of Florida and he was prevented from returning. Next is Jefferson Long of Georgia. Born as a slave, he was self-educated and built a thriving business. However, when elected to Congress as a Republican, Democrats boycotted his business, causing him great financial losses. Long was the first black American to deliver a congressional speech in the U.S. House. Next is Joseph Hayne Rainey of South Carolina. Born a slave, he actually served briefly as Speaker of the U.S. House and was in Congress longer than any other black American from that era. The seventh is Robert Brown Elliott, also of South Carolina. He was well educated, reading in Spanish, French, and Latin. In Congress, he led in the passage of civil rights bills over the strident opposition of congressional Democrats, and he later became Speaker of the House in the state legislature.
Yeah. Like I said, we're doing a little history on black Republicans. I'm trying to think about it so far because I've been here. Excuse me. Trying to find the flu bug off there. That was a flu cough, everybody. Because it's lemon. I've been taking some Mucinex, and that has been working and fighting this flu off. What's the weather like out there where y'all are at, man? You know, is it freezing? You know, how really is it out there? So let me go ahead and continue. If you know me right now, like I said, I have my commercials running right here, but I ain't got my commercials really lined up. But let me go ahead and play a song till I get back into this groove.
Oh, I'm coming straight to
If I was praying for change, give me shelter. That's a Rolling Stones cut. For you Sons of Anarchy fans out there, you know, y'all remember that song, I think when Jack lost his baby and he was chasing him down the spot, that was kind of hot. I had an opportunity to speak this Sunday at Transformation Church, and it was a very uplifting moment for me. I enjoyed the congregation and the people that were there listening to me. It was cool, man. It was cool. Very spiritually rewarding. And we got to talk about things on a spiritual level like you do when you go to church. You know, we got to talking about the war that's going on here between man and God. But I'm not going to sit here and beat y'all down with, you know, beat y'all down with the stuff, you know, all like that. But it's kind of hot out here, you know. Things ain't how they should be. You know, things ain't how they, what they should be. It's how they should be. Things ain't how they should be, man. You know, and we ain't get ourselves together. But anyway, I had a chance to talk about my candidacy, you know, and I got a chance to, you know, run my little rip and my little flow and how I wanted to go. And I appreciate the I appreciate the reverend giving me a lead by saying we have to have some people in our, you know, in our congregation that can assist us, that has our same values. Now, that was the key to me when he said those words, values. And that gave me a chance to talk about my opponent, who I feel that is ducking and dodging, first of all, and he has a fight on his hand, second of all, but I feel that he is, you can't serve two masters, you feel me? One hand, you can't be stating that, you know, I love the Son of Man, and I'm waiting for the Son of Man to come. And on the other hand, excuse me, my nose is so congested. And on the other hand, you're saying, let me give money to form an abortion so I can get rid of the Son of Man. On one breath, you say that homosexuals are equivalent to the plight of the African-American, but you say you follow God's statute, laws, and commandments. I'm not going to say how you feel on that, what God say, and what your pastor should say, and what your congressman should say, but the reason why you can't talk and think, the reason. You can't go against God. You can't go against God.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. You can run on. Run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee,
talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me of a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels' feet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Yeah, you out there in the First District. Go tell that long-tongued liar, what's done in the dark will come out in the light. Now, wait till y'all find out about the Mugabe scandal. It's bigger than Mel Reynolds. Let me tell you all, they didn't want Mel Reynolds. They dropped the porn charge because they know sex sells. But you cannot be doing business overseas with countries that we have sanctions against. Now, Mel Reynolds was a congressman. And there are other congressmen here in Chicago that were also caught up in the Mugabe scandal. I did a report on that earlier. But that goes right back to Bobby Rush. But let's go with Elsie Higginbottom. Higginbottom. Trying to have diamond mines. Oh, he says there's no diamond mines. He got out that business. But he's having agents or spokespeople over there to try to circumvent laws that we have, and he's Obama's spokesman. I mean, sooner or later, God's going to cut you down, you know? And now, sitting there trying to equate blacks with whites, same deal. I mean, blacks and gays aren't the same deal, pardon me. You know, because you're never going to get, you're not going to be denied the right to vote. Transgenders in this country were never denied the right to vote. Transgenders in this country were never denied the right to sit at cafeterias and restaurants. You feel what I'm coming from? I'm saying transgender because right there you can look at someone and see whether they are straight or gay or LGBT. You feel me? So, again, I'm not sitting here poking fingers. I'm saying don't sit here and humiliate the sacrifices that were given for the rights of blacks to gain respect, citizenship, and a piece of American pie. And sometimes we got to sit here and talk about taking blacks out of the minority status right now. I think we have gained the right to be looked upon now not as minorities, but as blacks. Let's have whites, blacks, and minorities. The people, that the immigrants that's coming over here, the LGBTs, and if women want to be stuck in that category also. Because black women can be black women, white women can be white women. We can leave it like that. Blacks, white, minority. We need to update our categories here because we're getting shammed, definitely getting shammed, you know. And then what are we going to do about it? Huh? What are we going to do about it? I got charges falling again. I'm charging up, talking already over on the other side of the wall. I got everything plugged up. I should have charged it up. Be back in a little minute, everybody. Here we go. 6 minutes. I'll be back to all 6 minutes.
Thank you. This is the Maharani of Soul.
That was the Rolling Stones version of Give Me Shelter, live version. I just like that song, man. I like Sons of Anarchy. But right now, I feel that right now. Give me shelter. Give me shelter, Lord. You know what I'm saying? What's really going on out here, children? There is a war going on here. And it's just a shot away. You know? They're busting shots all day right in front of grandma's place. It's war out there, children, in the streets today. And they're busting shots all day. And we got to sit here and worry about since homosexuals pass laws that if I come to your store, you say no to me. It's a discrimination suit and I can get money from it because blacks were discriminated against, too. I mean, how do y'all feel about that? Really, how do y'all feel about that, man? Be going back to my Black Republican rant again, everybody. Go back to my Black Republican rant.
America, this is your heritage.
The Klan terrorized black Americans through murders and public floggings. Relief was granted only if they promised not to vote for Republican tickets. And violation of this oath was punishable by death. And since the Klan was targeted against Republicans in general, it did not limit its violence simply to black Republicans. In this old illustration, the Klan in North Carolina is about to hang a white Republican. And in 1871, a black U.S. congressman from South Carolina, Joseph Hayne Rainey, reported an incident concerning an elderly man named Dr. John Winsmith, a white Republican state senator.
The doctor, a man nearly 70 years of age, had been to town. Returning home late, he soon afterward retired. A little after midnight, he was aroused by someone knocking violently at his front door.
The Klan shot down this state senator, a white state senator, because he was Republican and was fighting for the rights of blacks in his state. In that hail of bullets, Dr. Winsmith was hit 7 times. However, he survived the shooting and lived to testify before Congress about the attack made on him by the Klan. This is a Klan pushcard from 1868, about the size of a baseball card. It is entitled, Radical Members of the South Carolina Legislature. It shows 63 radicals. They were all Republicans. The Democrats called Republicans radicals because the Republican Party was biracial and allowed blacks to vote and participate in the political process, thus making them radical in the Democrats' eyes. Of the 63 radicals or Republicans in the South Carolina legislature, 50 were black and 13 were white. On the back of this card, all the names of the radical Republicans were listed. Evidently, if the Klan wanted to pay a night visit, as they had to Senator Winsmith, with the help of this card, they would know exactly who they were looking for.
We know the Klan is often associated with lynchings, and you know these are some of the most abominable pictures in history, but these are pictures of actual lynchings. 4,800 Americans were lynched. Now, out of the 4,800 that were lynched, 1,300 were white, 3,500 were black.
We have never heard that before.
We've never heard 1,300 white lynched. I thought it was just lynching blacks. No, they were lynching Republicans. But again, back at that point in American history, if you were black, you were a Republican. You couldn't lynch every white you saw. Some of them might be Democrats. So you have to find out who they are. And that's why you have these little cards to identify the whites and the blacks that are Republicans so you know who you're going after. People say the Klan wasn't partisan. Really? That's kind of interesting that as you get into the 1920s and 30s and 40s, the Klan was actually a wing of the Democrat Party. Matter of fact, George Wallace, who ran for governor in the South, a very famous name in the South, he lost his first election because he refused to accept a Klan endorsement in the Democrat primary. So the second time he ran for office, he accepted the Klan endorsement and won the primary. You go into Texas, Moll Ferguson,
She had trouble. She wouldn't accept the Klan primary, and it kept her from having a cohesive win as Texas governor. And she eventually became Texas governor. But this was a significant part of the Democrat Party. It was an entire wing in the Democrat Party. And as you look, here's a picture of a Klan parade. You actually, in Washington, D.C., had 40,000 members marching the Klan parade at the turn of the century. They included U.S. senators, U.S. reps, Supreme Court justices, members of the Democrat Party.
When would that picture
be taken? This picture is going to be taken in about 1910. One of the great Klan recruiting films of all time is called Birth of a Nation. Birth of a Nation is really one of the first films that was ever done, a motion picture, and it shows the Klan as heroes saving the South from all the blacks. And by the way, guess where that film was shown? It was shown in the White House. It was the first film ever shown in the White House. It was shown by Democrat President Woodrow Wilson. When he became president, a number of blacks already held federal office. He got rid of them, got them out of office. Teddy Roosevelt got all sorts of ire when he invited Booker T. Washington to come to the White House. The first African-American to come to the White House, Booker T. Washington, invited by Republican President Teddy Roosevelt, who used him as an advisor. Well, we move on from Roosevelt. We move now, and Roosevelt's appointed a number of blacks in his administration. You move on into Woodrow Wilson, he gets all blacks gone, and he shows a Klan recruiting film at the White House. See, the Klan was an active part of American politics for way too long.
By 1875, only a decade after the Civil War, Republicans had successfully passed almost two dozen civil rights laws, and black American legislators often played significant roles in the debates surrounding the passage of such laws. One example involved a civil rights bill in 1871, a bill allowing the federal government to punish Klan violence. During the debates on that bill, Representative Joseph Hayne Rainey from South Carolina delivered a powerful speech during the debates on that bill explaining why blacks were most often the targets of Klan violence.
When we call to mind the fact that this Klan persecution is waged against men for the simple reason that they dare vote with the Republican Party, the question is sometimes asked, why do not the courts of law afford redress? We answer, because the courts are in many instances under the control of Democrats who are wholly opposed to the impartial administration of law and equity. What benefit would result from appeal to courts whose officers are secretly in sympathy with the very evil against which we are striving? If the Negroes, numbering 1/8 of the population of these United States, would only cast their votes in the interest of the Democrats, all open measures of violence against them would immediately be suspended and their rights as American citizens recognized. But I can only say that we love freedom more, vastly more than slavery. Consequently, we hope to keep clear of the Democrats. I will also say that in the state of South Carolina, which I represent, there is no disturbance of an alarming character in any one of the counties in which the Republicans have a majority. The troubles are usually in those sections in which the Democrats have control. I say to the entire membership of the Democratic Party that upon your hands rests the blood of the loyal men of the South. Disclaim it as you will, but the stain is there to prove your criminality before man and God. In the world in the day of retribution, which will surely come, I pity the man or party of men who would seek to ride into power over the dead body of a legitimate opponent. I can say for my people that we are fully determined to stand by the Republican Party and the government. We have resolved to be loyal and firm, and as Queen Esther said long ago, if we perish, we perish. I earnestly hope that this bill will pass.
And now, the mellow sounds of Jimmy Irvin.
I don't do no harm. I never meant to make you cry. You were the only one I've ever loved in my life. Loving you more each day.
I can't do it no more. I can't sing no more sad songs. One, two, three, hit me. Bop, bop, bop it out of be bop, bop, bop. Yeah, bass man, come on up. One, two, three, hit me. Sound good. Yeah, saxophone on the floor. One, two, three, hit it.
I'm not trying to convert. You do your own thing. You know what I'm saying? We are responsible for the choices that we all make. So, on that note, I'd like to thank everyone for listening to me. Thank you, Miss Sonia Perdue. I love you, Miss Perdue. I love you, Miss Sonia Perdue. Ladies and gentlemen, in the underground, Sonia Perdue is going to make sure that Jimmy Lee gets to D.C. Again, let's say it, everybody. Let's send Jimmy Lee to D.C. Okay, we're going to have a kind of different show. I'm starting over from scratch. So I'm going to need y'all to send me y'all music. Well, I'll talk about that on New Music Thursday. You know, they got my web page and everything. But you can reach me at Tillman 2014 on Twitter, and you follow me there. I'll be speaking at Cole Park here in Chicago. You can come check me out up there if you're in Chicago. And, hey, y'all, pray for me. Pray for me. Because it's rough out here. You know, it's rough out here. It's war out in the streets. Kids busting shots all day. Trying to grandma's place. Kids can't play. War with the children. Well, hey, but there is war out here. You're on the verge of it, everybody. Things are hot and heated. You should take a moment and a second and thank the Most High for the blessing that He's given you. You know, and love the Most High with all your heart. This is Jimmy's Underground Radio Network. You know, like I always say, everybody, good night, and may your God be with you always.
Thank you.